Welcome back to Having Words. My name is Josh Martello, and in this podcast, I chat with ambitious, motivated, and inspirational special guests to discuss their stories, their experiences, inspirations, motivations, successes, and struggles. This week, I chat with Russ Cook, best known as the man that ran from Asia to London to Worthing. We learn more about the stories of Russ's run, the struggles, what he learned, and the next step for him, as well as talking social media, persistence, and we answer some rapid-fire questions. To support the podcast and receive exclusive content, you can become a Patreon member at patreon.com/havingwords.
Welcome back to the Having Words podcast. I'm your host, Josh Martello, and today I'm joined by a very special person I've never met before, Russ Cook. Russ, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
Before we begin, do you want to tell our viewers just a little bit about who you are?
Yeah.
How I heard of you, which is the big reason as to I think why a lot of people might have heard of you before this anyway. But yeah, who is Russell Cook?
Russ Cook, also known as the highest geezer. I've recently run from Asia, became the first person ever to run from Asia to London.
Crazy.
Running 73 marathons in 68 days. And most people would have just seen me through Instagram, I think.
Yeah. Have you been on a podcast before?
No, first podcast.
First podcast. You have been on the radio before, though?
Yeah, very briefly on the radio for a few minutes. And I managed not to swear for the entire time.
Oh, my God, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
Big stuff. Big
we can always do a competition and see who can go the longest without swearing. To be fair, it would probably be I'll go the longest. I've done it before, it's right. Do you listen to podcasts?
Yeah,
you said you listen to them on your run.
Yeah, so, pretty evenly listen to podcasts and music, but like a lot of the classic, like Joe Rogan, listen to a bit of the True Geordie, do you know?
No, I haven't heard of that.
It's like a YouTuber guy.
Yeah.
And then just sort of bits and pieces here and there. I do listen to quite a few podcasts, actually.
So the reason which how you caught my attention was literally on Facebook. Someone shared this story about this crazy guy that ran from Asia to Worthing. And I was like, what? And I was like, Worthing, that's where I live. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I read it. And I was like, oh my God, this guy sounds so cool. He must be such a professional. And then like, I read somewhere and it was like you've only recently been running as well.
Yeah, I only started running in 2018.
That's crazy.
It's 2019 now. So
yeah, that's crazy.
The only reason I started running, how I started running actually properly was I'd go on nights out and end up battered and just run home. And one time I ran home from Brighton, right? So it was like Brighton Pier and I just had enough of the night out. Like I'd quite often I've had enough, I'm just going home. And then I'd ran home and it was like 16 miles. And I remember afterwards like people being like, you're a lunatic, like you should try and run a marathon. I was like, hey, I probably should try and run a marathon. It's only another 10 miles. And then
got drunk and ran a marathon.
And then my mate that was already into running was like, oh right, I'm doing this half marathon, you need to do it with me. And I was like, alright, fine. So I started training a little bit for that. And then like 2 months, I think it was 2 months later, not even that actually, there was the full one. So it was Brighton half is in February and then the full one is in April. And he said to me, right, I'm doing the full. And I was like, all right, I'll do the full as well.
Oh my God. Wow. So that's like spontaneous as hell. Yeah. Especially for you, you just isn't a runner.
Yeah. So then I just started training for that. Did a half decent time. Got three hours 48, which ain't bad for your first effort, first stab at it. Then carried on training. So I was like, I just felt better than I'd ever felt before.
Yeah.
I was in really good shape and ran, then did a few months. Well, in October in 2018, I did Bournemouth Marathon.
Oh my God.
Did 3:23 off the back of about 3 hours sleep because I stayed up to watch the Conor McGregor fight, which was the night before.
Yeah.
So my mate drove me to Bournemouth and I was sitting in the car like, oh my God, mate, I don't know if I can do this. I'm off, I'm not here. But then went and did that. Then carried on training ramped it up big style, was like proper into my running. Then I went traveling, went and did high altitude training in Kenya with like, That was like a big step, you know, just like going sort of running sporadically. And then I was like, right, bang. Did that in Kenya with like a load of Team GB athletes were there, like loads of pro marathon people were there. And like the Kenyans themselves are absolutely lunatics.
Crazy, mate,
they're like a different, they're honestly a different breed. Like they're so good at it, at running. And then, yeah, I was just traveling around, met a guy in Kenya who'd been cycling around on his bike for the last 6 years around the world, just camping.
What?
Yeah, he was
so, get him on the podcast.
Yeah, he was so sick. Giovanni, his name was, what an absolute boy. And I spoke to him and I was like, oh mate, that's so sick.
Yeah.
Thought about what I could do. Then I started looking stuff up, like what's never been done before.
Good for you, man.
Aged London. And I was like, bang, right, I'm doing it. And there we go.
And that's how, that's literally how it happened. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, to be fair, one of my first questions was going to be, like, what inspired you to do it? And that's really interesting because you took the inspiration from a kind of like, why not as well? Yeah. As well as like from the guy that was cycling around the world, which is crazy as well.
Yeah.
But you did have that mentality of like, why not? Why don't I just do it?
Yeah, no one's ever done it before. Why not?
So training for it, would you say like the marathons were more training? Like, did you have much training before doing it?
Yeah, I did. I mean, some people have said to me like, oh, you just look like you don't, like you look like you've just dived right into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, I mean, I was, I was living in Australia for about 3 months before I went to Istanbul. And the people I was living with, we told, I was training like a madman because I was eating like a madman as well. Like,
oh my God,
I was eating everything, anything and everything. But I was training twice a day, like at least an hour and a half in the morning and at least an hour and a half in the evening as well.
Jeez, wow.
Yeah, so like, I mean, I wasn't holding back because I knew the size of the task ahead of me. So like, I wanted to prepare adequately. At the same time though, you can't run marathons in... It's not really a great idea to run marathons in training consistently because it's just like now my knees are battered.
Mm.
Like it would just, you'd get injured. So you need to like gradually build up to it. But I was doing a lot of mileage. I ended up at about 250 kilometers a week.
That's like ridiculous. Yeah. And what I think is really funny is like a lot of the articles that I've read, they phrase it to be like, oh, you just got up one morning and did
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, obviously that's not how it happened, but like, there is a bit of like I'm not like a professional endurance athlete.
Mm.
I'm not like an elite level. I'm a very good runner, but I'm not like top caliber.
Yeah.
And what I'd say my biggest strength is like my mental strength is what pulled me through more than the physical side of it.
I was gonna say, like, for you, was it more mind over body? Was it like, if I get my mind strong, like it doesn't matter kind of how bad or good my body is, like I could go so much further.
Yeah. So you like, you need to, your body needs to be at a level, obviously, because you couldn't just take any job off the street. Like they wouldn't be, they'd get injured. So you have to be good enough to not get injured, basically. And then your mind will pull you through. Like if you've seen like the pictures of my feet and stuff, I don't know if you've seen them.
Yeah, like they crazy.
Were, yeah, they're like purple, swelled up. They're like. Oh, it's grim. Blisters everywhere. Like that's more of a mental side of it.
Yeah. It's just like seeing that and kind of being okay with that and understanding like that's the consequences of you doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know? You shouldn't be scared away from it because of that.
Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I was just like, remain positive throughout everything. So none of that really affected me too much. Like I just sort of looked at it from a higher perspective. Like, yeah, this sucks now, but like, this is all temporary. In 2 months, I'll be back home.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I'll be all right. So let's just get through it now.
Do you think you surprised yourself a little bit about how, not only doing it in the first place, obviously you set out the goal and you're like, this is, I could do this. It's going to be tough, but I could do this. But do you think like your mindset wise, you're quite surprised, like how maybe positive you remained?
Yeah, I would say maybe I was surprised at how positive I stayed. I never really doubted that I could do it. Like, I knew I would do it. It was just how hard it would be, and I wasn't, that's just a question mark in it. But I don't know. Nah, I was always quite like, I'll be all right. This is fine. Like, just every day, keep going, keep plugging away.
That's literally crazy. Like I honestly don't think I can comprehend right now the idea of it, because firstly I'm terrible at geography, so I don't really know how far that is, but also I know it's far, but I can't imagine doing it, because like recently over the last few weeks I've been trying to run a little bit as well, like not because of you, like you inspired me, but like I've just tried doing it because it gets me so much more motivated for the day and like
it clears your head as well massively.
Oh my god, yeah, so
it's like I use it, it's like a meditation for me, like
it's running. Yeah, yeah. 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 I mean, I tried like, I tried meditating. Like I tried for, like, a few days. But it's just not for me at all. And like, I've had a lot of like kind of mental restraints recently this year as well. And I used to go to the gym quite a lot, and because I haven't been able to for the last year or so, I've been going running. And yeah, like you said, it just literally is. It clears your head so much and I love it. It gets me so ready for the day. But to be fair, I only run for like a mile, like less than a mile one morning because I don't have much time. And like, that is so much. Like I see YouTubers like Casey Neistat. I don't know if he's running like miles every morning before work, and I'm like, I can't do that, but I'm doing what I can do.
That's all right. I think it's all relative, isn't it? So
like
a marathon for me might be as hard as someone running a mile. It doesn't mean one is like, you know, you just got to push it to what you can and keep going with that, really.
Yeah. Now, what's really interesting is one of the articles that I read. I'm just relating all of my questions to the article that I read. One of the articles that I read was about how you obviously set this goal and that you accomplished it. And what I want to talk about is like, is this the first big goal in your life that you've set out to do and then also accomplished? Because I know for me, I've set out so many mini goals, but I've never actually accomplished them.
I'm a big thing. Setting goals is a big thing for me. Like, I think it's so important and I think everyone should do it. Like, short-term goals, medium-term goals, long-term goals. But I've failed at so many things. Like, and that's, I think if there was one thing that I would say to like a younger version of myself, it'd be like, don't be scared to fail. Because I remember when I was younger, I'd be like, oh, like, I want to do this, but I just don't want to fail. I don't want to do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, the older I've get, the more I'm just like, I don't even care. Like, I'm just going to try my best and like, we'll just get through it and see what happens. And that's such a better mindset to be in rather than putting so much pressure on yourself not to fail that you don't even try it in the first place.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, you can't fail if you don't try it.
Yeah.
And like, people do let that fear get in the way a little bit.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting how like, you literally, like, you understood that you were going to push your limits and it didn't scare you away at all.
Like, nah, like, because at the end of the day, it's like, well, look, I'm going to try and do something that no one else has ever done before. And if I fail, then I'm going to learn a lot about myself in the process anyway. So,
but it was a win-win almost.
At the same time, I honestly never believed I would fail. Like, I was like, there's no way I'll fail. Because like, in my head, this is what I thought. I was like, all right, if I fail, basically, essentially what I have to do is get a plane home and I will just never book a plane home.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm just not going to do it. Like, I just won't.
Yeah. So, at the very least, you would run back. It might have just taken a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So that was in my head, but I was thinking, like, I initially I said 70 marathons in 70 days.
Yeah.
There was a few navigation issues, which is why I became 73 in 68. But I was like, I will definitely do it. That's without doubt. But whether I do it in time frame is up for like, that could maybe not happen.
Yeah. And I suppose for you, like, that was more of a deal about the time frame a little bit.
Yeah.
Being like, I want to do it in like a good time. I want to do it in the time.
Like,
time
no
time
one else probably really gave like, too
just
much
the idea of it.
Out.
Like,
yeah.
To be fair, like, when I first read the article, like, when I first read the title,
yeah.
it could have been like, oh, he did it in 6 years. And then like, that still would have been impressive. I think just the title at the very least probably inspired a lot of people, to be fair. Just the idea of it being like, wow, somebody could do that and I can't even get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
So we
briefly touched on positivity a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And like, how you stay positive. Was there certain habits that you did? Was there certain things that you did or things that you told yourself? Like, were you trying to imagine like you were running through a happy space or like...
what I would say is like go to the dark place to get you through the moment, but the happy place to get you through the journey. So
deep. Whoa,
but
like that,
you've got to stay positive for the majority of the time, but like obviously you do have those moments where it's like
dips.
Yeah, like it's just you. Like, I think if you don't have them, you're just faking it. Do you know what I mean? No one's like, there's nothing worse than like, if you're gonna like those positive people that are just always, and I'm like, mate, you're not being real, so just shut up. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So on the subject of staying positive, I just tried to find anything I could funny. I'd literally be washing in like a petrol station. There'd be like a tap on the side of a petrol station. It'd be freezing cold. I'd be like, I'm hobbled under there, like showering. And I'd like look down at my feet and they're purple. And I'd just be like, it's quite funny.
Because the situation is actually pretty funny.
Or like someone would walk, I'd be doing this and someone would walk past me and give me a really weird look. And I'd just be like, oh mate, they don't have a clue. Like, so I'd just try and find like anything that I could
the humour in any situation, even if it wasn't a funny situation.
Yeah, and just like play it in my head like it's funny. Like,
that's crazy, because I feel like that entire run, if you had that mentality all the way through, it's kind of changed your perspective on things.
Yeah,
like you'll see hard things as kind of like, oh, that could be an opportunity for something funny a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there'd be I'd just be constantly going around in my mind, just for, like, seeing the funny side in absolutely everything. So that's probably how I stayed so positive. I think that's probably one of the reasons, and like I said before, about just literally big picture the whole thing, and just think like, mate, this is over in like 2 months. I'll be sitting in my bed, like going for nights out with my mates,
play
like
Xbox, normal, play FIFA or something,
doing normal stuff. So like, just get through it now, and then at least I'll have a really good story to tell by the end of it.
Like, it feels like when you say, like, literally your mindset pushed you to do probably finish it in a good time and everything. Yeah. Like, that's the truth. Like, you honestly believe, and like, I can tell as well, like, your mindset helped you so much through that.
Yeah.
It definitely was mind over body.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like, I'm so stubborn as well. I was just like, that's a big reason as well.
Like, you were like, I've literally told so many of my friends that I'm going to do this. Yeah. Shit, I've got to do it.
That's a huge thing though. Like, and I don't think enough people do this. And like, it depends on your personality. Cause I'm like quite, if I say I'm going to do something, I'll go and tell all my mates, and I'll be like, yeah, mate, watch it. I'm going to do this or whatever.
Because when I do that, I feel like I've already done it. Cause the people, they're like, oh, you're going to do that? I'm like, yep. And I feel like, yeah, I've done it. It's like, no, Josh, they've just given you kind of like the acknowledgement, but you still have to actually do it. Yeah. And I'm like, shit, really?
But if you're really cocky about it, and it wouldn't work for everyone, but I always think like, before this, I'd set out all to my mates and I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to do it. You wait and see, boys. And they'd be like, oh, he's such a twat. Look at him. Just like,
you're not going to do it.
Yeah, he's got a clue. And I'm like, oh, you wait. But when you do that, it like pins yourself in a corner. Mm. So then when it gets a bit difficult in the moment, you think, well, I've big dogged it to everyone now.
Exactly.
Like,
I can't.
It's just another thing to keep you going. You know what I mean?
So, I also think as well, it's like when you do have those doubts of being maybe like, oh, I can back out. There's a lot more pressure to not back out.
Yeah, and it's like, because I've big dogged it to everyone, right? Like, if I failed at any point, I'm sure you'd get a lot of people that are like, oh, wow, you've done really well anyway, all the rest of it. But I know, and all like my close mates would be like, you weaseled
you
out,
failed.
Mate. You bitched out. Like,
you're like, I can do it, but you failed. It's like, hang on a minute, mate.
So like, I'll do it all the time. It's a good tactic just to like get yourself to do something.
Yeah.
Out there, and you just go and tell everyone they're going to do it. And then you're pinned, then you have to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. I know that my cousin that has been on the podcast before, Joe, he said the same thing about his YouTube channel. He was like, oh, I'm going to make a YouTube channel. It's a very common thing to be like, oh, I'm going to make a YouTube channel and not actually do it.
Yeah.
But literally because of the pressure of, he told everyone, it's like, okay, I've actually got to do it now.
Yeah.
It's so important. Yeah. Also, The run, obviously, you did it for yourself, didn't you? Like, mainly as well. But was there a charity aspect?
Yeah. So I was, I did it for a charity called The Running Charity. Mm-hmm. So they help young homeless people all over the UK just build a better life through running. So, like, it teaches them discipline, motivation, all those sort of things, which I think is really good. And when I saw that charity, it like instantly clicked in my head. I was like, this is something that I really want to get behind.
Yeah.
So I was debating whether to do it for charity or not. And initially I was like, nah, because I couldn't see anything that I actually really, like, you've got to imagine that when you're doing it, you've got to promote this charity. So you've got to be fully behind it. Otherwise there's no point doing it.
Exactly. And like, especially when you approached it from wanting to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
And then putting kind of a purpose on it, it does kind of change the cause of it a little bit.
Yeah. But I never said like, oh yeah, I'm doing it for all these homeless kids and everything. Because like, I was doing it for myself, but like at the same time, it's like, right, well, this is a really good thing I want to get behind as well. So let's like...
That's amazing, because you didn't feel like boasting it. Because I feel like I would have seen it if you were like, yeah, you know, I'm doing it for charity. I would have seen it on socials, but I literally read it somewhere. I was like, oh, I did it for that. I was like, oh, that's so cool. It's crazy charity.
Yeah.
Now, what I found really interesting is, before this, you were saying how like you're kind of on like a social media detox, or like you're slowly going back to it a little bit.
Yeah.
So like what was your experience of having like social media around the run? I found out just now that you were doing stories during it, Instagram stories.
So like on the run, it was kind of like my only outlet, because I wasn't really I had no real human interaction with like many people at all, because obviously no one could really speak my language. So it was like my main way of keeping in touch with everyone, and like I'd get loads of messages all the time, and it would make me feel like, oh yeah, all right, just keep going, stay positive, all this. But then when I got back, like I was just like, oh, I need a big little break off this, because I don't know, I just find a lot of the time people replace real life human interactions with social media interactions. Yeah. Like you see all your mates on their stories and everything, and then you feel like you don't actually need to talk to them because you know what they're up to.
You know
what they're up to anyway.
Yeah.
And like I know it's just the way it is now, but it just kind of irks me a bit, and I'm like, I'd rather just text my mate and say, all right, let's do this and then we go and do it, instead of having a catch up or just watching all their stuff and then being like, oh, that's it. Because that's not a friendship, is it? That's just like...
Exactly. That's almost like you're following a celebrity. It could be anyone.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just like, I wanted to take a break of it because I'd rather actually go and see my mates and be like, right, what have you been up to? Blah, 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 and actually have a real life human interaction rather than just sitting there looking at Instagram.
Exactly. Like, social media, anti-social media.
Yeah.
Anti-social media should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, there is really good aspects to it. Like, when I was on the run, I met two girls from England that were travelling around in a camper.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Who, like, messaged me through Instagram.
You're like, people that understand me.
Yeah. And so then I went and met them, stayed with them for the night, and I was like, shit, like, this is actually, oh, my God, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, I'm speaking to people.
How do you talk to people?
Yeah, I forgot how to do this. Like,
Russell. That's crazy.
So, like, obviously, you get the pros and the cons, but, yeah, I just think it's a good... Social media is good, but let's not replace real life with social media. Like, there's still real life.
Although it's always gonna, it's just gonna go down that path.
It is, and it just feels like it's getting worse and worse and worse. Like, I don't know, but yeah, it's just one of them, isn't it? Like, I just gotta go with it, I suppose.
And obviously, like you said, how you were getting so many notifications because of what you were doing, it was lowering the charge on your phone.
Yeah, well, at the start, I was fine because I only had like 300 followers, so I was all good. But then, once Amy Hart shouted me out, then I was in big time trouble.
Crazy, man.
Yeah,
crazy.
I was like, I had to like airplane my phone quite a lot, and yeah. Because I'm literally... That was a big thing out there as well, because if I didn't have charge on my phone, I didn't know where I was going.
That's crazy.
So I was Google Maps. And there was a few times my phone ran out of battery and I had to literally navigate with the sun. I was like...
Oh my God, proper primal.
Yeah. So it was that was probably one of my biggest worries. I was like, right, I need to find somewhere to charge my phone. Every day, twice a day, I'd need to find somewhere to charge my phone.
Just a plug or anything. Yeah, that's crazy.
I became an expert in walking into a building and just scanning
And just knowing like outlets. Over there.
Like walking to a supermarket.
The wall is south facing, which means the plug would be on the west in the corner. Like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
I think that as well is quite interesting about like what you learned along the way, because obviously you probably learned so much about like the limits of yourself, how far you can push yourself.
Yeah.
And then when you do push yourself that far, like what kind of things you can expect, but also like you learned so much about cultures and everything as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy because I was only I think the longest I was in a country was Bulgaria, which was 11 or 12 days.
What?
So I was moving pretty quick. I didn't really have time to stop and soak everything in. And I was quite focused on myself as well. Like, I was like I would run and then I'd be like, right, recovery. Then I'd be like, right, something to eat, something to charge, somewhere to wash, somewhere to sleep.
Yeah.
So it was very like boom, 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 like for literally 2 months straight. So there was no real time to just...
Take it all in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably, like, this is what I said to some people, like, that would have been such a sick holiday if I just didn't have to run a marathon every day.
Yeah. If you didn't set this kind of, like, this purpose in yourself, like, it's a marathon, I'm running it.
Yeah.
If it was just like, I'm just going to, like, kind of walk through, stroll through.
Then it would have been so good,
yeah.
But I wouldn't change it, though.
Yeah, no, of course not. I feel like a similar version of that is kind of like you went to all these places drunk and you just have blurred memories.
Yeah,
Why do I remember all the plug sockets in all these places?
Like, I'll walk into it. Like, honestly, it took me about 2 weeks to be able to walk into a place and not just like, plug socket.
Like, are you okay? Oh, sorry, yeah.
And I'll walk into a Mackey's and be like, oh, the amount that I showered in a Mackey's toilets quite a lot.
What?
Yeah.
They have showers in McDonald's toilets.
No, they don't. They
taps.
Yeah. So I'm locking myself in disabled toilet and just like getting the tap and just, yeah. So now I'm just like, wow.
That's crazy. Did you eat any McDonald's on the trip too?
Oh, yeah, quite a lot.
Did you actually?
Yeah, my diet was disgusting.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what was the diet like? What did you eat?
I can't believe it. So, yeah. But there was, I didn't find a McDonald's until, I think, Belgrade, which is in Serbia.
Yeah.
So that was about, I don't know how many miles it is, maybe 800 miles from Istanbul.
Oh, my God, wow.
Because that part of Eastern Europe in general, there's not a lot There's not, I mean, there's stuff there, but it's not like how we'd know it in England or Germany or France. So when, but when I hit Germany, there was like quite a lot of McDonald's
more mainstream stuff.
So I was eating a lot of Mackey's eggs just because it's, when you think about it, it's like, where can I charge my phone, get some food?
Cheap food,
yeah. And it's hot as well, which was a big plus for me.
Yeah.
And if I needed to shower there, then I could. Like, I could sort of make it, like, work.
So it makes sense, yeah. And I feel like when you say it to a lot of maybe runners, they're like, what? You went to McDonald's?
My diet was, like, in Eastern Europe, it was worse. It was literally peanuts and ice cream.
Was that true?
A lot of peanuts and ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Because
wow.
I'd be eating at petrol stations so my eating time was, like, I wanted to try and double it up as a phone charging time as well.
Yeah.
So if I was eating, I'd want to be charging my phone.
Yeah, saving time.
Yeah. So, I mean, the best place to do that is a petrol station, really. So I'd be like, every time I come across a petrol station, I'm like, right, I'll eat it. What are my options? Like peanuts again.
Ice cream again.
Okay, yeah. But so very high fat diet.
Yeah, but you're burning off.
I was literally burning how many calories a day, man. I could eat, that was probably the best part. I could eat whatever I wanted. When I got to like West Germany onwards, and there was like supermarkets everywhere and all this, and I'd walk into a supermarket and just buy an entire cake and just eat the entire thing, like,
God.
Just for lunch.
And get a sugar rush.
Yeah. I'd just be like, right, sweet, that'll do.
My God, that's crazy.
Yeah, so my diet was awful.
Yeah.
Which is like adds to the whole like people thinking this guy's a joke, like he's not serious.
Just doing it for a little bit of banter. Just running through, eating cake.
Because like, I mean, if you went and spoke to any pro athlete, they'd be like, I don't know, they'd have their teams cooking them up.
They would,
and giving them energy gels.
You're there with a cake and McDonald's.
Yeah, mate, I'll still run a marathon though.
That's great. I think that's why I see you as more inspirational than like, typical people.
Right, yeah.
Because you do seem just like a normal guy.
Yeah, that's
doing
it,
all
like,
these incredible things.
Fully, I'm just like a normal bloke. So, yeah, I just thought it'd be a laugh, to be fair. So.
And it was.
Yeah, it
also
was.
It's super something.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to explore out a little bit more now, really.
Yeah. I'll going back to the subject of social media, obviously your Instagram handle is @thehardestgeezer _, which I think is great.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Just there's so much personality just in your handle.
Yeah. What actually is mad that, because that started off as like a joke and like now like people have actually called
referred to you as news articles.
That is the hardest geezer. And I'm like,
a 22-year-old from Worthing, known as the hardest geezer. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
I've got him. So yeah, that was quite funny. Do you want me to tell you the story behind
the
hardest geezer? So how that started was I was in have you ever heard of Benny Kassim?
No.
It's a music festival in Spain.
Yeah.
So last year like 13 of us went, like all the boys went to this music festival, and on one of the nights we'd just been drunk idiots or something, and the security was getting really annoyed with us in the camp.
Oh my God.
And they just kept coming over and kept annoying us.
Yeah.
And I think I nicked the guy's hat and we had rolls of sellotape and I sellotaped him up.
Oh my God.
And he's like phoned in and all these security guys have come. And we all thought we were going to get booted off the campsite. But I was, because I was like, I was pretty into my running then. So I was like, mate, chase me if you want. Like,
oh
you
my God, sprint off.
So I dart off and I'm literally weaving in that tent.
What?
And I had all these security guards in stitches. And then I hid in a tent for a bit. And then I came out and put a different hat on, disguised somehow.
Oh my God, you went full on like secret agent.
And then from that, someone said, "Oh, the hardest geezer," and I was like, "Yeah, I'm taking that. I'm the hardest geezer."
I imagine you had like a flash and be like, "Oh my God, this is it."
I was like, "That sounds cool." And then how it got solidified was a few months on, my mate challenged me to a boxing match. So we had a boxing match, and we said the winner gets known as the hardest geezer. Like you have to call the winner hardest geezer forever, and then the loser gets called the Worthing Weasel.
Oh my God!
So,
no way.
So I won, and then I'm like, right.
That's
it.
Yeah. I feel so bad for the Worthing. But I mean,
so he actually to this day still calls me the hardest.
Does
geezer.
And you still call him?
A little bit.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Yeah.
Was it like a professional boxing match? As well,
it was literally in the park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we set up ropes in the park with some boxing gloves and just sort of got my mate to ref it and just went at it.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was funny, though.
Yeah, oh, I can imagine. And you got a title from it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, every cloud and that.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. And what I think is so interesting as well is, like, you do have a big following now. And like you said, because of Amy Hart as well, shouting out, which is ridiculous as well. Yeah. But she is a Worthing lass, that's right. Yeah. But also, like, you can use that following now. Like we were saying on the way here, I was asking you about any projects you want to do, and there's nothing concrete yet, like you said. But like, any project that you want to do, you could promote it, or you could use your following that you have now.
Yeah.
Like, and you could use it as a good cause, because now you have a group of people that you can influence as well.
I mean, I don't really think of it like that, to be fair.
No, I think I just see it from like a marketing perspective.
I'm not too great at that sort of stuff. Like, I just think like, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and then if these people, if whoever wants to like,
if they don't,
no worries. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to get a normal job, and I don't want to do all these normal things. I want to do this as our career, so I'll have to get more savvy on that kind of side of things.
Exactly. Like, no matter what you're going to go into these days, like, you're going to come across it. It's going to hit you. It's going to be another obstacle. So you might as well just kind of know like the bare minimum a little bit as well.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it's hard as well, because I feel like the more you know about it, the more you'll like structure your content or whatever to get more followers, and then I feel it's becoming fake, and then I'm like, my whole thing is like, I don't want to be like fake. I'd rather just do my own thing, and then if it works, it works. If it don't, then
I tried. Like, what's the point of tricking people to get followers when you stand by something else? I think that's so important. That's why the direction of this podcast has gone more into like personal perspectives and like kind of like, there's this whole taboo around, obviously, the typical taboo of like, just man up and men shouldn't share things and stuff, and like, or another taboo of like mental health and everything, like, you don't talk about it and everything, which is why I kind of want to shine some light on that a little bit. And I think these days the movement about what content would actually be more popular is more honest, genuine content is so important. And so that's why I honestly think if you stick with this mentality of being like, I'm just going to be myself, I'm gonna be honest, if I'm struggling, I'm going to tell people, if I'm not, I'm going to tell people, like, whatever, it's going to really pay off for you in the long run.
That's what I think, and I think that's the only way you can really, I don't know, I'd get caught out sooner or later
it's exhausting,
who wants that extra headache for no reason, like, let's just not bother. So that's why I think just right, we'll just be honest with what everything I'm doing and just try and make the best of it.
And like, at the end of the day, you know, like, You'll feel better as well.
When you're
like 50, you'll look back and be like, thank God I was just myself. And you're gonna be surrounded by people that actually care about, you know, the people that want to get on with you and everything, rather than people that people that saw a video of you trying to be someone else and they're look at this guy. It's like, well, that's not me, mate. Yeah. Right, actually.
That's why all my stories and stuff that was like me just being exactly what I was doing or thinking in that situation. And like, sometimes I think, oh, maybe could have got more like mainstream news shone on me if I acted this way or did this thing.
But it wouldn't be genuine.
I was just like, ah, fuck it. Like,
your mates probably saw you and they're like, why is he just being like, why is he being like the person we know? Like, surely TV guys are supposed to change him and everything. Yeah. Or like, that's crazy.
Yeah. That these things happen.
What's really interesting is like, since then, like, how you've kind of dealt with the whole, I suppose a lot of people messaging you, like, from people saying, oh my God, well done, this is amazing, you inspired us to do this, to other people being like, hey, like support our brand or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what's interesting is like, how your life's changed since that.
In some ways it has, but I mean, in a lot of ways it's very much the same. Like, I think I got back, right, and like, I go to bartend and everyone's like, oh, wow, yeah. Like, everyone says the same thing. They're just like, oh, yeah, like, congrats. And I'm not going to complain. Like, it's nice to hear and that.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, no free drinks. Nothing's really changed.
I did actually get a lot of free
did
drinks.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
Oh,
I went for,
no way.
Like, got back on Friday, went out on the Friday.
Oh, my God.
And then went out.
So you finished your run at bartend.
Yeah, I ran a marathon, then went, and I still made it out till like 3 o'clock. So I trooped on pretty well. Then went out again Saturday night, and then went out, and then I went for to my mate's house and we were drinking all day Sunday. And those 3 days, I did not buy a single drink.
Really?
But I got drunk at every
time. Oh my God, that's crazy. Crazy weekend, cheap weekend. Yeah. That's crazy.
I needed his drugs as well.
Thank God. Yeah. Like, wow, you're like, yeah, booking big shots now. You can pay for all our drinks. Like, what? Just because I ran doesn't mean I got money.
Yeah, literally, I'm poor mate, shut up.
I can't believe you got back and just drank. Like, that reinforces the idea of you were like, oh, yeah, I went for a run.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, it was like through Europe, but then I got back.
Mate, to be fair, though, like, I'm not going to go and sit at home and like go to sleep. Like, that's boring, isn't it?
So. Exactly. And like you said, it's not you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I probably should, but that's not me. Like, yeah, would Russ do this? No, wouldn't he? He'd go out. He'd go out, yeah.
Got reputations, mate. Now, to be fair, the people just getting me to do dumb shit all the time now. Just be like,
really?
Oh, you've got a hard skeezer, you've got to do it.
Oh, you're like, oh, God, what have I done? I've reinforced that phrase. Oh, damn, hard skeezer. So now, obviously, since you've done that and everything, like, what's the next step for you? Like, where do you want to go? Do you want to do another running thing? Do you want to do something else? Cycling?
Yeah, like, so it's hard to think of more running things to do because, like, it's hard to get the motivation to do another running thing because I'm like, well, I've sort of done it.
You've
like,
completed that?
I don't want to say I've completed it, but
you have a little bit. So, that's the run. Which
it's like, how are we going to top this? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So, and that is quite hard to think of, like, how am I going to top that without
running across America?
Nah, it's not even topping it. It'd be easy, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah, like, probably. Just straight
speaks,
line.
Everyone
exactly.
Speaks English. Like, yeah. Easy. So it's
McDonald's
like,
everywhere there, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, without funding, because I don't have any funding, need to self-fund whatever I'm doing, how am I going to make this harder?
Yeah.
And it has to be considerably harder for it to still, for people to be like, I don't know, you still need to have that question mark, I think, which is, can he do it?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
If there's not that question
mark
there.
Oh, the same guy that ran from Asia to Worthing now runs to London to Blackpool.
Yeah,
it's like, that's a very small
obviously
distance.
You can do that. So I need to think of, but there is different ways because like I could do things under a certain amount of time and all this sort of stuff. But I'm just trying to, I want to whatever I do next to be like just as entertaining or just as good, like,
and just as kind of important to you as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I've got a few ideas, but we'll see where we go with them. But I've applied for to go on Bear Grylls the Island as well.
Have you actually?
That's
crazy.
Fun.
Yeah. So, oh my God, that'd be so much fun.
Yeah. So I don't know. I run a lot, but I feel like I can do more than just running, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. So. And like, I feel like actors as well, you know, they fit in a certain category.
Yeah.
For example, like, I know that Hugh Jackman, he does musicals and everything as well. He's not fitting with that persona that he has. I think a good example is Daniel Radcliffe, you know, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Okay, he tried Women in Black. It worked a little bit. I was like, okay, you don't want to fit with the persona of just being the running man.
Yeah,
you know?
Because
I feel like, you know, you didn't spend your entire life running. You know, it was a recent thing. And you're like, what else can I just start up?
Yeah.
Like, can I become a boxer one day and then a year later win a certain like championship or something?
Yeah, which I reckon I could. So
you probably could, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Until enough people dare you, you don't. You're not gonna do it. So it's right.
Yeah, it's just I was just thinking about what I can do. I think anything like my common thread would be like mental endurance. I think that's like where I'm best. So.
And it doesn't always have to be fitness either. To be fair, like
like the hardest mentally enduring thing. So I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, do you know what would be harder than running 70 marathons in 70 days? Is sitting in a box for 70 days, just doing nothing in a dark box with nothing.
That would drive you crazy.
It would make awful content because like no one's gonna watch.
It'll make a good headline, but it wouldn't be like a story. Hey guys, another day in the box.
Yeah,
just pitch black.
So, but like I was thinking about, it, I was like, mate, that'd be so much harder.
Yeah,
like,
you're right. That's the thing. And like physically, it would still be challenging as well. But yeah, mentally, that'd be like
I imagine sitting in a coffin box for 70 days or something.
That's great. Maybe you can work up to that.
I don't know about that.
Maybe. I mean, that's like a completely different direction. But I feel like that's like I get the vibe. That's the direction you want to take. You don't want to keep doing runs. You don't want to.
I want to explore other ideas, but I think running, I could, like, if I carry, I'm 22, most endurance, like, ultramarathoners don't really hit their peak till, like, 40.
Yeah.
It's one of them sports, like.
So you could go back to it, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, you could spend the next decade doing something else, like professional gaming, and then go back to it.
So, I don't know, I just want to, I'm open to ideas, you know, I just want to do anything that, it just has to get me going, otherwise, if I'm not engaged, then like
what's
I'm
the
useless
point,
that's
you know?
Why I'm rubbish at working normal jobs because if I'm not engaged I'm just like, I don't care mate like,
yeah. This is actually a podcast for you to get hired but okay that's like, I completely ruined the chances
yeah I mean yeah
Now, I've got some rapid fire questions, but keep in mind they're not rapid at all. You know, you can take as long as you want, and also I can cut around it, so it's fine.
Sweet.
So, question number one: what's the next personal goal that you want to reach? Obviously, we kind of touched upon this a little bit, but like, what is the next goal in your life? You know, that you're like, oh, I want to move out, or I want to get a job that I feel happy doing, or something consistency. Like, what is that for you?
See, that's what I'm in a bit of a state of limbo right now, because obviously I've just done, like, I had that, what I've just done was a massive goal for a little while.
Yeah, and like you said, you're still recovering from it.
Yeah, and I literally am still recovering. My knees are battered. But
and I just made you walk here.
But so, like, in terms of setting my next goal, it is, I always think it's really important, because if you don't have a goal, then, like, what are you doing? You're just sort of, like, meandering around.
Yeah, like, what's your purpose if you're not striving towards something?
But at the same time, when you set something, it needs to be set. So right now I'm sort of in a state of, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm figuring it out. And once I figure it out, then it will be, I will be getting after it. But at the moment, I'm just sort of like, oh, I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah, and to be fair, like, you're not expected to. I suppose a lot of people like me, they ask you, hey, what's next? And you're like, I just got back.
Yeah, I've had that question a lot.
Yeah, you're like, let me breathe, and then I'll realign my thought process as to what I want to do.
Yeah, and I've sort of changed my mind a bit now. Like, I changed my mind a lot. I'm like, oh, I think I want to do that. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. if I'm not motivated enough to go, like, yeah, I'm doing it, then
exactly,
it's probably not the right thing to do.
Exactly. If you don't from the get-go, you know, if you don't set 100% into it, then it's like, then it's, well, why am I...
Especially because whatever it will be, like, really hard. Like, it's not just like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym every day for a week. It's like,
you could do that.
That's not challenging. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. For me, like, personally, it's just not challenging. So, like, whatever I do next is going to be take up all of my energy. So it needs to be there.
I think that's what's so important, is the fact that, like, you've done the big run. Many people will be like, I've done it now. That's the peak of my, challenging, pushing myself life. I've done it. But you're like, what's next? Yeah. Bring it on. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Like, well, let me breathe and then bring it on, literally. Question number two, now that you've done the big run, what's the main big lesson that you've learned about yourself or about the world or about running or habits? Like,
I would say that, I mean, I've learned a lot, and it's like what I was saying to you earlier is like, it's like you're putting together the pieces of the puzzle, and like, sometimes it's clear and then sometimes it's not. So, like, learning, I don't know, I just think, just keep going with what I'm doing. What I've learned is, don't be scared of failing is probably the biggest thing I'll take from all of this, even though that might sound weird, because I didn't fail, so why?
Yeah.
But
there was always the idea that you might, almost.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd say don't be scared of failing is probably the biggest lesson that I've take, because out of that, if I was giving advice to someone else, that would be my thing.
And like you said earlier as well, it was like, it's a win-win, because if you do it, you do it, but if you fail, you've learned from it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, there's a quote from John Kavanagh, who is Conor McGregor's MMA coach, or his MMA coach. We win or learn. So it's like, you win.
Oh, I like that. There's no losing.
Yeah, there's no losing. So
I like that.
I think that's an important thing. And it, like, for my younger self, that would have been a really good bit of advice. Is just like, who cares about failing, mate?
Exactly.
Just go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just do it. Doesn't matter if it's embarrassing or anything.
Exactly.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Question number three: who inspires you, or who do you aspire to be like?
God,
not many people question, actually think about this on a daily basis, because I feel like a lot of TV interviews are like, hey, do you inspire to be like, oh, I inspire to be like this person, but like, you don't really think about it. You're like, who do I actually look up to?
So I wouldn't say I aspire to be like anyone, like, because like, I'm just who I am.
And you want to be yourself.
I don't want to be anyone else. People that inspire me, that's a really hard one. I don't really know.
It's because you're such an inspiration yourself. No one inspires you. Yeah? I think I inspire myself. Me in 3 years' time inspires me.
I don't know. I'd say there's people like that are just actual savages. Like, have you heard of David Goggins?
No.
He's just he set world records for like the most pull-ups, and
really?
He just goes out.
Oh my
like,
god!
If you, I follow him on Instagram. He's just an absolute nut job. Like,
really?
People like that, I'm like, yeah, like, I rate him.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, stuff like that, like, but I don't know, I don't really have anyone that I think like, oh wow, they're so amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, Nah, like, I'm not really that sort of, I don't know, I'm not really that sort of bloke. Like, I'd think, I'll see if someone's doing something cool, but like, that's cool. But
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, you're like, so wow, that's amazing. Yeah. You're like, oh, I wonder how I could do that a little bit as well.
Yeah.
That's interesting, yeah. Question number four, if you had the world, oh, I like this one. This is a new one.
Okay.
If you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say?
Oh, mate, I mean, I'd have to have a think about it.
You'd be like, follow me on Instagram. Oh, this geezer underscore.
I've had the world's attention for 30 seconds. I mean, mate, right now, I wouldn't know what to say. I'd be like, all right, boys, how you doing?
Oh, yeah,
like,
how you doing, lads?
I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to have a nice little think about that one. I'd probably come up with some sort of little inspirational message.
Really?
I don't know. It's really hard to think something to say on the spot without it sounding really like cheesy and like classic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd have a nice little think and try and. If you've got the world's attention for 30 seconds, that's your moment. You've got to try and make the world a better place.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's seconds.
When everyone's looking at you.
I'd probably just come up with some sort of little
inspiration. Yeah. Thing or something.
Try and make the world a bit more fair or something like that. You know, like, get
stop fighting.
Yeah. Spread the money around a bit. It was, come on, boys.
Yeah, come on. Give some to him.
Yeah. Give a shout out to the billionaires and be like, right, you lot, mate. Look at all these Kenyans, mate. You can solve all their problems, mate. You
said like they're just next to you. The entire world is literally around you. Yeah. Hey, guys, can you give them some money?
Yeah. You could do a lot of good. I'd put some pressure on the rich people, I reckon.
Really?
That'd be my message, I reckon. Yeah.
Do it, yeah, literally.
Put some pressure on the rich
solve
boys.
So many issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one needs £1 billion. Like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you doing with £1 billion?
That's the thing. I think you have such a luxurious lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then you still sleep.
You still have to sleep 8 hours
just
a night.
You still have the essentials.
Time restraints like everyone else. Like, spread that money around. You don't need that massive, like, you don't need 17 houses, do you?
Well, we'll see. When you're famous and you're next on the podcast in 3 years' time, I'll be like, so you now have 17 cars.
Yeah. Oh, shit, what did I say?
What did I say? Delete it.
Nah, if I'm ever rich, I'll definitely give it this spread around, I reckon.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, do it. Like you said, like, you just need the essentials and then maybe a few other
mate,
other items.
I'm happiest when I've got nothing anyway, so who needs money?
That's cool. That should be your quote just to the world. You know, happiest, guys, when I have nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, and question number five, final question. What's one bit... You kind of answered this a little bit. What's one bit of advice you'd give to someone struggling to hit their personal targets?
I would say you've got to have like your, it depends what your targets are, but it's like goals, and it's like, I always say like you want to have short term goals, medium term goals, long term goals.
Yeah.
And you want to make them challenging enough so that they actually like engage you and you have to work for them, but you want to be able to achieve, especially like the short term ones, and
they have to be doable. Yeah,
they have to be doable, and I would say the short term ones, they have to be like, you can do them, you can keep getting those bit of gratification here, there, and everywhere. And then you build more self confidence and more self belief, and then like before you know it, you'll be running across Asia. So
literally. Go up. One day you're like, I'm gonna get the title amongst my mates, the hardest geezer. Next step, I'm gonna run across Asia. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that would be my advice. Would just be like, work towards it slowly, but you gotta get them goals in place. So do that.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. And we're actually nearing the end of the podcast as well.
Yeah.
Flew by. Before we finish though, do you have any, like you said, you mentioned Joe Rogan and a few other podcasts earlier, but do you have any podcast recommendations and why those ones? Because obviously you listen to podcasts whilst you're running. Yeah. Which ones especially helped?
I do like the Joe Rogan ones, but he does a lot of podcasts, does like 3 or 4 a week or something. So I sort of like scan through and like pick the ones that are best. I listen to him more than anyone else. I'd say Russell Brand. I listen to Russell Brand.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of adverts from him recently.
The only trouble I have with him, he's so clever, right? That he's spouting all these words, and I'm like, I'm not quite sure.
What does that mean, yeah. Russell?
What does that mean, mate?
Come on, Russell to a Russell.
What do you mean? but yeah, he does have, the message behind his podcast is really good. I like him.
I should really check his out, actually. Yeah,
yeah, I reckon you'd like it, you know. Yeah. It's actually really good.
Because I saw an advert with him and the guy from IT Crowd on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He does like little YouTube clips as well and little stuff on his Instagram. He does like little Instagram clips, like.
Probably get inspired.
They were good for the masses as well, because he does like how to deal with a breakup, or like how to deal with self-confidence issues.
Yeah,
do you
yeah.
know what I mean? So it's like I like just felt like a quick little. Oh, like Russell Brand, good bloke.
Yeah, yeah, good bloke. Yeah. I listen to him and Joe Rogan. Two very different people, I think.
I mean, Russell Brand's been on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Has he actually?
Before. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
And that was actually a really good podcast. It's a couple of times I think he's been on.
Because I've listened to a few big ones, like the Elon Musk one. I think it's probably one of his most popular ones.
Probably his biggest. Yeah, because he smoked.
Exactly. Yeah, literally, yeah, it's a meme everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the Simon Pegg one I listened to as well, because everyone else I just haven't heard of. But yeah, I'll check out.
I would say the good thing about Joe Rogan is he has such a wide variety of people on that you can like. I just go and just like pick the people I've heard of or just see what they do and like, oh, he's this guy. So I'll give that a listen. So,
yeah.
Because he does so many, you can just sort of pick the ones that you
exactly.
Know.
Yeah, I'll scroll through and be like Russell Cook. What are you doing on the podcast? And before I wrap up, where can people find you? How can people support you? Is there a charity that you'll shout out?
Yeah, so my Insta is like, I mean, I'm not really on there at the moment because I'm just taking a little break.
Yeah,
but I will be
allowed
there
to
soon
to.
Enough.
Yeah,
don't
literally.
Worry. Which is at the hardest geezer _, and then I'm raising money. If you want to support the run that I did, which was running from Asia to London, then we've mentioned that about 20 times.
That's right. Yeah,
but. Yeah, I've got a link in my bio on my Instagram, which goes to my Just Giving page. Which
we'll put it below the podcast notes as well.
Sweet.
Under the podcast, yeah.
So that is for the running charity, which raises money for young homeless people in the UK.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sweet.
And you, any people you want to shout out? Any mates? Your family?
Nah, fuck them all.
No shout outs.
Nah, no one else deserves a shout out. Yeah. I don't know. We'll leave it there.
Shout out Asia.
Yeah,
just
Asia.
In general.
We'll shout out Istanbul. We'll shout out Bulgaria as well.
Yeah. They were sweet. Why not? Yeah. Not the UK.
Nah.
You know, that's right. Let's get political. Thank you for listening to Having Words. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit, and can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, and any other podcast directory. Feel free to leave an iTunes review if you enjoyed this episode, and we're about to record a post show which is only like 15-20 minutes long, so you can check that out while I delve into some more personal questions with you, Russ.
Cool.
Which you weren't expecting at all. And if you want, you can check that out on patreon.com/havingwords. Once again, Russell, thank you. Russ, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Nice.
How'd you find it?
Yeah, it's good, mate.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was a good laugh.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed the episode, let us know by sending us an email at havingwordspodcast@gmail.com or writing a review on iTunes or Facebook.